And thirdly and lastly comes the Dharmakaya, usually translated as body of truth, though this is not indeed a very satisfactory translation. A more accurate rendering would be the aspect of absolute reality. The Dharmakaya represents Buddhahood as it is in itself, or the Buddha as he is in himself. And the Dharmakaya therefore represents the real, the true, the genuine, the ultimate Buddha. Not the human Buddha, not the historical Buddha, not even the archetypal Buddha. And therefore we find the Buddha saying in the Diamond Sutra, saying in a verse which is very well known, very famous in the Buddhist world, often repeated, often recited, "Those who by my form did see me," form meaning the human, historical form, "those who by my form did see me, and those who followed me by voice, wrong the efforts they engaged in, me those people will not see. From the Dharma should one see the Buddhas, from the Dharma bodies comes their guidance. Yet Dharma's true nature cannot be discerned, and no one can be conscious of it as an object." So this is what the Buddha says in the Diamond Sutra, that the Buddha is not really his physical body, not even his archetypal form. The Buddha is the Dharmakaya. The Buddha is, as it were, reality. Now, the message of another great Mahayana text, the Saddharma Pundarika, is similar. In fact, in a way, it's even more explicit. I don't know how many of you have seen or have read this particular sutra, but it is worth pointing out that this sutra, the Saddharma Pundarika, which means the white lotus flower of the good doctrine, this particular sutra employs the non-conceptual mode of communication. We've seen on more than one occasion there are two modes of communication, one conceptual, through abstract ideas, concepts, and the other non-conceptual, the other speaking the language of parable and myth and so on. And this is the language which the Saddharma Pundarika speaks predominantly. And I have in mind a particular episode when suddenly, according to the text, millions of bodhisattvas appear from the earth. You can imagine how staggered everybody was. There they were, sitting around the Buddha under a tree somewhere in northern India, and maybe a few hundred of these ascetics and monks, and maybe householders, a few princes and so on, a few merchants. And suddenly we're told, out of the fissures of the earth, there came millions of bodhisattvas. Quite an extraordinary sort of thing, even during the lifetime of the Buddha. And the Buddha, when he saw all these millions of bodhisattvas issuing from the fissures of the earth, he said, addressing the other ordinary human disciples, he said, "Oh yes, these are all my disciples. I've taught and trained them all." So the ordinary human disciples expressed, according to the sutra, their astonishment when they heard the Buddha claiming to have taught and trained these millions of bodhisattvas who had appeared in this miraculous manner. And they said, "But look here, you were enlightened only 40 years ago. And we recognize, we admit that you've been working pretty hard and you've been teaching all sorts of beings and you haven't really wasted any time. But these millions of bodhisattvas, that's a bit too much to ask us to believe. How could you possibly have trained so many of them? Well, some of these bodhisattvas, they're not just ordinary novice bodhisattvas, they've been following the bodhisattva path for ages, for kalpas, hundreds of lives, thousands of years. So how can they possibly be your disciples?" They said, "It's just like a young man of 25 pointing out a collection of centenarians, all men of 100, and saying, 'They're all my sons.' It's just impossible." So at this point, according to the sutra, the Buddha makes his great revelation, the one to which the whole sutra has been working up, as it were, a revelation which is the keynote of the sutra. And the Buddha says, "Don't think that I was enlightened 40 years ago." This is just your way of looking at it. He says, "I am eternally enlightened." And when the Buddha makes that statement, obviously it isn't the Nirmanakaya speaking, it's not the Sambhogakaya speaking, it's the Dharmakaya speaking. In other words, it's the real Buddha speaking, the eternal Buddha speaking, or Buddhahood itself speaking, not any particular person, not any particular individual, however great.